It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. It is September the 17th. God bless you this morning. We wish you God's richest blessing. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalms 122, verse 1. May God be with you. We're going to worship him together at this time. And at this time, my brothers and sisters will have our opening prayer. So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you very much for this morning. We thank you for your richest blessings, and we give you glory and honor and praise. I thank you so much for just opening doors and guiding and leading your people. Give us the strength we need, Lord, to fulfill the mission that you have for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, it's time now for our opening song. It's entitled, It's About Time.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
about time, brothers and sisters. It's about time. All right, friends, it's time now for us to go right into our message. We're talking about Gideon, and it is Gideon Part 2. We're in Judges Chapter 7, Judges Chapter 7. And brothers and sisters, if we don't look at life lessons when we study the Bible, there's really no need to study the Bible. That's where people get it all wrong. They read the Bible to try to convince somebody else of their wrongness or, you know, just for the formality of saying they studied it. But if we don't want to understand what God is saying and speaking to our lives, we're not going to grow. So it's time to pray, and then we'll get right into it. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for waking us up this morning, which is a new week. Also, it is another opportunity for us to have another course in our training today. We pray that you'll bless everything and be with the technology, and we ask that your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, it's now time for us to begin our reading. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north shore of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. So Gideon rose up, and it was a lot of the enemy. And as the Bible describes them, they were like grasshoppers. Okay. I want to talk about Gideon's name. I believe that's the name that was given to him before in the previous chapter. Notice it had the name Baal in it. I'm just going back to the previous chapter to see if I can find it. Let's see here. And, okay, so I'm in verse 28 where they went and took down the altar of Baal. And, okay. Therefore, on the day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him because he has thrown down his altar. So I just thought it was very significant that the Bible continued with that name, that he had thrown down the altar. You know, your name represents your character. So who is Gideon? The one who had the courage to tear down Satan's kingdom. Friends, that's what we have to do. We have to have the courage to tear down Satan's kingdom. God is more powerful than the devil. We might think the devil is more powerful than God, but God is much more powerful than the devil. But he has to have willing instruments, willing to tear down Satan's kingdom. So they have to change Gideon's name to the one who will tear down Satan's kingdom. I thought that was very interesting. Look at verse 2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Brothers and sisters, God has already won. Okay, that's the bottom line. However, God will work in a way where he will get the glory. And so when we work in a way where we take the glory, just know that God can't work with you fully. Just know that. When we do things in such a way where we want all the glory and all the praise and all the honor, and we don't want to give it to God, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. You are in trouble. God can do great things with those who are humble, who will give him the glory. That's why God can't use pharmaceutical companies, brothers and sisters, because they're not going to give God the glory for the drugs that they make. They're not going to give him the honor and therefore use them. They're all about money, making billions and billions of dollars a year, okay? So God's not going to use that. God is not going to use a shot to stop the flu, because if the shot stopped the flu, you wouldn't get the flu again. You got to take a shot every year. And now with COVID, they want you to take about 5 or 10 shots a year. That's ridiculous. Brothers and sisters, people don't know what they're doing. They're putting all these poisons and toxins in their bodies. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, that God has a plan that is so much better. Yes, they've lifted some of the mandates and stuff. I'm going to tell you why that happened. That's because it was proven that the Pfizer shot killed 1 out of every 40 people. That's not conspiracy theory anymore. They were talking about it, and they said, follow the science. And the doctor said, where's the science? show us the signs. They wouldn't show it to them. This is truth, brothers and sisters. I'm here to tell you that what is truth? They wouldn't show it. You can go look this up on the internet. Look up the FDA wanted 55 years before they shared the data. There is an article. It's by some either New York Times or something like that where they actually reported on it. They had to sue. These doctors had to sue the federal government, which was in violation of the Freedom of Information Act, in order for us to get the COVID data that we're told they relied on. And when we saw it, brothers and sisters, one out of every 40 people. And so they're still, they had to back down. You see, God did that in his mercy because he knew that they were trying to push something that would have brought on the Sunday law before some of us were even ready. Yes, it's leading to a Sunday law, my friends. That's what a lot of people don't know. Even a lot of doctors don't know where this is leading. America is going down because the Bible says it would, because they have chosen to go away from the freedoms that they once promoted. You see, America is that second beast of Revelation 13. It's a two-horned beast. The two horns represent the freedoms of religion and the freedom of civility, freedom of religion and civil freedoms. But it would speak like a dragon. So God predicted that America would turn against the Constitution. That's why I am nonpartisan, because I see the perversion of the Constitution by the Republican Party, and I see the perversion of the Constitution by the Democratic Party. The Democrats do it by claiming that it's their constitutional civil right to sleep with somebody that God said they shouldn't sleep with. And the Republican Party does so by not respecting the peaceful transfer of power when it doesn't go their way. And anybody who endorses that theory, brothers and sisters, we shouldn't endorse. And so I just love being like Jesus. We love the Republicans. We love the Democrats. And we thank God for all of this. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you all to know that we're moving forward, and God is going to use his people to tell the truth. But you are in a time period where if you can see these, please understand, to be a senator, a Republican, I don't know of any that are not highly degreed. Most of them are lawyers. That's a fact. Most of the politicians are lawyers, not all. But they have all had some great station, generally speaking, in life as a general rule. And so you're not talking about dummies. And so if the people running Capitol Hill, if the people running the White House, if the people running the judicial system, brothers and sisters, are making the kind of decisions that the founding fathers would cringe at and have been doing so for years, we're in trouble. Okay? So America is going down, and we put it simply like this. That's not a threat, by the way. You got to say that these days. We're not involved in any anti-government movement, brothers. I'm talking about what the Word of God says. It says national apostasy shall lead to national ruin. America is in apostasy, just like most churches are in apostasy. What does apostasy mean? Apostasy means that you have left what you once believed. That's all apostasy means, assuming that what you once believed was the right thing. America's apostasy will eventually be its final act of apostasy, will be forcing everybody to worship on the venerable day of the sun, which was a pagan day of worship. That will be the ultimate act of the United States of America. And we're seeing this play out as we see the freedoms go away, freedoms of your physical body and how you take care of yourself. All that, they're trying to push for that. That's outside the Constitution, brothers and sisters. Complete civil freedom. You can't force somebody to take a shot. A shot didn't come from a tree. A shot didn't grow out of the ground. A shot was made by a pharmaceutical company. You're trying to tell me that we're going to be forced, you're going to force me to take something that was made by a pharmaceutical company. And we have principles in the Bible that says God will heal us. So I'm here to tell you, friends, we're living in a, if God chose you to be born when you were born, Think of it as an honor. He chose you to be his standard bearer in the last days. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early in the morning, early from Mount Gilead. Now, if you go back to the previous chapter, the camels couldn't even be numbered of the enemy. The enemy brought forth such a massive force that they knew they would just overrun the children of Israel. They knew they would overrun the children of Israel, brothers and sisters. And anybody would cower in fear. And here God is saying, you got too many people. It was ridiculous, you see, but God does what man considers ridiculous when it is needed to glorify his name. Now, therefore, go, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So that's how we know what it was at the beginning. The Bible doesn't tell us at first how many were there, but when 22,000 left and it only left 10,000, that means Gideon started off with 32,000 people, okay? That's what that means, if my mathematics is correct. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. Brothers and sisters, sometimes God has to, he doesn't always tell you at the beginning all that he needs to tell you or who he's going to use. Sometimes God wants to use a group of people, and he'll start off with a large group, and he'll take you all through a test. And only those who came through with flying colors when the going got rough, those are the ones. But, you know, you can't just hand pick sometimes. God doesn't have you hand pick. He allows the experience. So nobody would blame Gideon for handpicking anybody and leaving anybody out, okay? God was the one that did the separating and separated. Watch this. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that bowed down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to the mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So brothers and sisters, God doesn't need numbers. He's got all the angels that excel in strength. He's got himself, okay? He doesn't need numbers. And so sometimes we think we need large numbers. Sometimes we get discouraged if we have a program and only a few people come. Sometimes we are bothered by the fact that, you know, the Lord seems not to have us be prosperous. And, you know, you don't know what God is doing. You know, we have our little broadcast, and sometimes others that are speaking have hundreds and thousands of people that are listening to their broadcast, podcast, whatever. We might show up every morning, and there might be 10 to 15. You know, that doesn't matter. None of that matters to God. What matters to God is that we are faithful, and he will use us if we will be used by him, my brothers and sisters. And so that's where we are. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent, and he retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. Now, God had already sent the people who were scared. But God is reasonable and merciful to those who are sincere. And he told Gideon, go down. But if you are a little afraid, take somebody with you, okay? And he told him who to take with him. You see, God is reasonable. God is merciful. God is sovereign, and he's kind, and he's not going to put more on you than you can bear, okay? And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down to the host. So this was just a spying mission, okay? Then went he down with Phurah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, didn't I tell you? And the sand by the seaside for multitude, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. They wouldn't have a chance if you just dealt with the numbers. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. That means 100 men per company. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand and empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, shall ye shall do, so shall ye do. Now think about this. What do they have? I don't know if they have their sword bound like in their holster, in its holster, but their weapons were a pitcher that had a lamp inside of it. And they had a trumpet. So they're holding a pitcher with a lamp inside and a trumpet, one in one hand, one in the other. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye with the trumpet also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hand with the trumpets in their right hand to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. See, God could add Gideon to the statement because Gideon was humble. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah and Zererath, and to the border of Abel Meholah, unto Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all of Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters unto Beth Barah and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Beth Barah and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. And they slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side, Jordan. My brothers and sisters, God wants to do a great work with a few. 144,000 is pictured as the people that God uses. Now, some people believe that that's a literal number, and I'm not saying it's not. I tend to believe it's more of a figurative number, but the bottom line is, whatever the number is, it's going to be a few there be that find it, so to speak, as it said. And I do believe that God is going to do a great work with a few. Are you going to be a part of that few? That's the question. God doesn't need numbers. I'm here to tell you, those who are thinking that a large organization is what's going through to the end, it is not. You're not reading. Here's my motto. If you have to neglect or reject anything that God has said, your position is not correct. I'll repeat that. If you ever have to reject or neglect anything that God has said to form your position, your position is always incorrect. The Lord has told us that the organization that would have books of a new order and that would have a new organization, and that actually happened, brothers and sisters, and it's proven. You can actually go to the USPTO.gov, USPTO.gov, and that's the United States Patent and Trademark Office, and you will see that the General Conference, under penalty of perjury, told the federal government, under penalty of perjury, that they started in 1963. Okay? That's not me. That's not me saying that. That's not conspiracy theory. It's right there. It's there to see. It says 1963 on the year that they formed. Now, 1960s was right after the 1950s, and we know that Barnhouse and Martin came to the church. They were evangelicals. They were writing a book about cults, and the Adventist leadership did not want to be in the cult book, and therefore they changed some of the doctrines. And it was after that that they claimed that they began the church. So we know that they put it 100 years after the truth, because the Adventist Church started, the organization started in 1863. But, you know, sometimes when we do wrong, God uses that wrong to move forward and save his people. There's lawsuits going on even right now of organizations that have, used the name Seventh-day Adventist. And there are some, like the Reformed Seventh-day Adventist, if the General Conference had put 1863, they would have shut the Reformed Church down. I'm not a Reformed Seventh-day Adventist, as in that denomination. I don't agree with a couple of their beliefs, but I do believe there's godly people there, okay? And they started in World War I when the General Conference would not stand for and support the people who were not wanting to fight on the Sabbath or to kill. They did not get support from the General Conference. The General Conference sent them to kill in the war and sent them to fight on the Sabbath. And so there's organizations that have been established. One is the Reformed Church. There's also True and Free Seventh-day Adventist. You can look that up in Wikipedia. Just look up Wikipedia, True and Free Seventh-day Adventist. I'm not a part of that organization either, and I'm not saying I agree with every little thing, but there's faithful people there. I know some of them, brothers and sisters, and they have gone through great persecution, some of them over in Russia and Germany and other places. They were greatly persecuted because they took a stand not to kill in war and not to fight on the Sabbath day. And so those organizations can't be touched because they put 1963 instead of 1863 as the patent. You also have the Free Seventh-day Adventist movement. The legitimate one is the General Assembly of Free Seventh-day Adventists. There are some others that have kind of offshoots of that, some of which are, I believe, based on how they got their name, which was not always above board. They pulled from the General Assembly, and some of them weren't legitimate. They are actually being sued by the General Conference today. Now, the General Conference has no right biblically to sue people for the use of the name Seventh-day Adventist, which was given to God's people, but that's where we are. And so why am I saying this? Because a lot of people think that the church that's going through is an organization. If you read First Selected Messages 204 and 205, it said the organization that does this, that has a new organization, that has books of a new order, that goes into the cities and does a wonderful work, but the Sabbath being lightly regarded, it said storm and tempest will sweep away, not the people, the structure, okay? So the structure, it's not the entity that's going through to the end, because its structure, that's an organization, will be swept away. Are there godly people in the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists? Absolutely, just like there are godly people in True and Free, just like there are godly people in Self-Supporting, just like there are godly people who would just call themselves Present Truth Adventists, whatever. Brothers and sisters, there's godly people. And so what's going to happen is all of God's people who are faithful, they will end up being together. So that's why I'm not one to condemn people for being in this group or that group. If you are faithful to God, in the end, we'll all be together. And so I rebuke those who look at others who aren't necessarily in the exact same camp that they're in, and they, you know, claim that they're offshoots and call them names. You see, you know, that kind of stuff is not even godly. It's not even godly. You know, you hear all these, some of these present truth people, and they, with disdain, they talk about, yeah, these people are offshoots, you know. And here they are saying that we should all stay in the conference, you know. And brother, I don't even support those who go too far to condemn those who are in the conference, brothers and sisters. We need to recognize that God has a people, and that God wants wherever you are, you to be faithful, and he will guide you to where you need to be if you stay faithful to him. But I am saying that the greatest hindrance to spiritual growth has been religious leadership, particularly in organizations. When the Jewish organization left truth, that's why Jesus couldn't support that. When the Jewish, and people lie and say, oh, they may not lie, they just deceive and say Jesus never left the organization. Brothers and sisters, the Bible clearly says, and he no longer walked in jury because they tried to kill him. And also the Bible tells us in Mark 3:14, his first act after baptism to start his public ministry was to ordain 12. And Acts of the Apostles, page 18, said this was the first step of organizing a new church. So people say Jesus never left, but his first act was organizing a new church. Read it for yourself. Don't take my word for any of this. Acts of the Apostles, page 18, Mark 3:14. It tells you, friends. It's just that we don't want to believe the truth. You see, we're so stuck on tradition, just like the Jews. And then the Roman Catholic Church took over the Christian church. Then God says that organization is no longer valid. The organized Christian church is what became the papacy. Great Controversy 544. Read it. Don't take my word for it. Talks about how the traditions began to supplant the word of God in that organization, the Christian church organization. They started going with traditions above the word of God. And she says the result was the papacy. So that means the papacy is the Christian church, the same organization Jesus started that went sour, its organization. But God had a people, and he called them Protestant. Now, the Protestant churches was God's church. That was God's church. God was using Martin Luther, Zwingli, Huss, Jerome, and therefore their churches to preach the truth. And the Great Awakening was among those Protestant denominations, where in the 1700s and 1800s, leading up to 1844, they began to have a greater understanding of the second coming of Christ, and the greater understanding of Bible prophecy, and the Spirit of God was moving. It was powerful enough to reach the encyclopedias. They just don't tell you what it's leading to, just like a lot of people see what's going on, but they don't know it's leading to the Sunday law. Read about the Great Awakening, brothers and sisters. It will tell you there was a great religious awakening in the 1700s and 1800s. That was God's doing. Among the Baptists, among the Methodists, among the Presbyterian, among the Episcopalians, so on and so forth. But when they rejected as organization to move forward in truth, God rejected the organizations, and it was the people that moved forward in that, the small number of people that actually became Adventists. So I will tell you this: God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he didn't hold on to the Jewish organization, he's not going to hold on to an Adventist organization that's not faithful. If he didn't hold on to the Christian organization that was not faithful, he's not going to hold on to an Adventist organization that is unfaithful. If he didn't hold on to the Protestant churches that were unfaithful, he will not hold to an organization in Adventism that is unfaithful. The church is the people. God wanted organization because it helps the people get to where they're going faster and with better ease, like a vehicle can get you faster to your destination than if you have to walk. But when that organization turns and starts doing, if that airplane turns to do a nosedive down, but you've got a parachute and you can get, you might have to use that parachute. That's the concept that we need to understand. So we don't go out of our way condemning anyone. The General Conference, God still has people, and he's working, he's pulling, and he's wooing, and he's rebuking, and he's doing what he needs to do, nurturing people within that organization, trying to keep and stem the tide of evil. But brothers and sisters, the bottom line is, when you see what the devil has done with the leadership, you know, it is a compromising situation. And the same is often true in other organizations, brothers and sisters. I've talked to higher-ups in almost, yes, in all the organizations I have mentioned, I have talked and had dealings with higher-ups. Okay, I'll just say that much. I've had dealings with the higher-ups, True and Free, Reform, Free Seventh Adventist. I have leaders. And I'm telling you, the devil tries to bring everybody down. But the point is, it's not about organization as much as it is about faithfulness. And then if there is a faithful organization, to God be the glory. Go there, stay there. But you must be faithful to God. And that's what's most important, brothers and sisters. And that's all I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to tell you that you have to, you can't be, you know, God, you're not going to be saved if you're in the general conference, or you're not going to be saved if you're out of the general conference. God will have a people, and this experience with Gideon will show you that it's not who you think it is. It's not the large body that you think is going to go through to the end. It's the faithful who will let their light shine, who will blow the trumpet. Think about the symbolism there. They had a light, and even the medical missionary work is mentioned because that light was put in a vessel. And so sometimes you have to reach people. You can't reach them with the truth. You have to go reach. You can't reach them with some of the last day truths, I'll say that much, distinctive doctrines. You have to go and put your lamp in a vessel, and you've got to go and approach them with that vessel to tear down Satan's kingdom, friends. That's what medical missionary work does. It reaches hearts. It reaches souls. It reaches people. So we want to do that. So God is good, friends. We want to, at this time, just have a prayer. And I will probably not have our song, and I'll just go right into talking about some health topics. So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the love you have for us. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us through Gideon these powerful principles that you will use who you can use, and we must be faithful. Use us. Put your spirit upon us, Lord. Make us successful, only to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, before I get into minerals, I want to mention something. The Lord has blessed us with a method of teaching. If you go to torsoflow.org, that torso is spelled T-O-R-S-O-E, torsoflow.org. We are right now offering a certification as a wellness coach, and I recommend that you go and look at the homepage. And on the bottom of the homepage, you will see a video that gives lesson one. And if you like what you see, just understand that we can work with you to get trained. We have been given a method that God has given. We don't take any credit for it. And that's why God can use us, because we know where it came from. But the bottom line is, we can teach you to be an effective medical missionary and have a career in it in a fraction of the time for a fraction of the cost. And it's our holistic biblical wellness coaching course. And there will be many courses in our school. We have started a school. It's called the Torso Wellness Institute. Okay. The Torso Wellness Institute, and you can actually take courses. We use a method of flowchart teaching, and because it gives you the things you need to know in a bite size, so your brain actually retains it, and you can always go back and refer. We have a textbook, brothers and sisters. That textbook, this isn't even the textbook. It's this is about a 300-page textbook. But it's about a 500-page textbook, but that might be daunting. No, it's full of flowcharts. It's full of very colorful flowcharts, and so you're able to grasp the information. For those who are I'll just tell this to everybody, but those who are in the training, there is now a quiz online, so you don't have to send in the quiz. So we're going to actually update the book, but those who are presently students, you're going to get those updates. What we're doing in the book, you know how every disease had about an 8-page torso flow system. There was a cover page that gave information, a disease page that talked about the disease process, a page that talks about modern medicine's understanding, gives illustrations of the disease, because everything they know is not bad, it's just not all good. Then we had an ETC page that comes from the spirit of prophecy. Every disease is an effort to get rid of toxins and change conditions. Every disease is, and we show you that. We have the fifth page, which is a page that deals with the live free lifestyle. The live free lifestyle is LIVEFREE, live free, okay? That's love God, include temperance, vital water, eat healthy, fresh air, rest, exercise, and enjoy sunlight, okay? Live free. And we show that and how it applies to that disease, okay? And then there is a page of lots of cures. And so it's just all, you can't even use all the cures that we list there. And then there's instructions in the back of the book so you can know how to apply that cure, how to do the cure. And then the seventh page is a strategy. You say, okay, how do I get started? What do I do? We say, start with this, then do this. And while you do that, do this, do this. We tell you every step to take to cure that cancer, to cure that diabetes, and so on and so forth. And then finally, those who are students, you will see a quiz in your textbook. We're going to replace the quiz with a summary page. We're going to call it a speed read, quick picks, pick as in a choice, speed read, quick picks, meaning that we're going to summarize so that if you have to talk to somebody quickly and you need just a quick refresher, you can go to the speed read, quick pick page, and you can get the high points of what you need to remember as you talk to people, as you help people. That will replace the quiz because the quiz is online. So the textbook, brothers and sisters, you have in your hand, it is yours. And at this present time, in this introductory time, the textbook is actually free. That's a $225 textbook that's free of charge to you. And you have all the information. So a lot of our lectures are based on the flowchart system that we just mentioned to you. And then we go through that to explain it to you. And then you have it forever in your textbook till Jesus comes, I should say. And then that's that. So we want to mention that you need to take the quizzes online. Now, you can take the quiz in the book if you want to, but I recommend that you take the quiz online because it will cause you to remember the information. It's many more questions. We just put 5 questions per disease in the book. But if you take the quiz online, you have many. And if you don't pass the quiz, no problem. You can retake it. Our job is not to do what they do in false education. In false education, you know, everybody's competing for the best grade, and you have valedictorians and salutatorians. In God's school, our job is to make sure you get the information. So if you don't pass the quiz, guess what? You just retake it. It should prompt you to retake it. And it'll show you everyone that you got wrong. So make a mental note, make a note. Okay, I didn't get that right. But it's those questions are designed to rivet that information in your mind. Okay, so you have a lesson, which is on video. It's a lecture. And also we have lots of video regarding the practical. So, and that is by my wife done for the most part. She's doing most of the demonstrations in the in that aspect of it. So, you know, very well done demonstrations. We did a program at Safe to Serve, and they videotaped that. And so those illustrations of lemon wraps and steam tents and charcoal poultices and cabbage poultices and different things you put on your face and your eye and all of that, it's demonstrated. And we've had that on video, so that's part of the course as well. So, brothers and sisters, it's a wonderful course, and we believe that with it we can train thousands of people, and that's what we want. We want you to tell. We have some people listening now that are part of the course. We are trying to train. But here's the point. We're going to actually have different levels. So we call them tiers, like a level is a tier. This is the foundational tier, the wellness coach. If you have that, you can actually open up a sanitarium, and we're here to support you and help you in any way that you need help and support. Or you can go and offer wellness coaching. We also will have a higher tier called a practitioner tier and another higher tier for a doctor of holistic biblical holistic wellness or holistic biblical wellness. And but those things might be a little daunting for some of you. We're going to have specialty courses. You might not want to take a tier course, but you might just want to help people with diabetes. Well, we're going to have a course that's just on diabetes. And even those in the tier courses can take those courses and become specialists in that. So they're a wellness coach, but then they have a specialty in diabetes. And but a person can just come off the street and take the diabetes course just to get healed and to know what they want. It's going to be a much more detail regarding that condition, whether it's breast cancer, diabetes, hypertension, prostate cancer, fibroids. We'll have many, many different courses using the same torso flow method. And those who are, of course, taking the tier classes, they're going to get a discount on the courses that are offered as specialty courses. Those who take even the specialty courses will have a certification as an educator. So that's how it's going to work. So if you just take a course as an educator and that's all you do, you will have a certification as a wellness educator in the area of whatever that disease is. If you have one of the tier level courses, you'll be a certified wellness coach, holistic wellness coach with a specialty in whatever you specialize in. Then if you become a practitioner, same thing. You can become a doctor of holistic wellness, and you can have specialties, just like a dermatologist has a specialty in the skin, so on and so forth. You see, God's plan, mankind doesn't do everything wrong. They just don't do everything right. We can have specialties too, but we don't have to learn anything evil when we learn what is good. Okay, so that being said, we're going to use the rest of the time to talk about our topic. We're going to talk about electrolytes. A lot of people don't know what electrolytes are. That's some word. What does that mean? Some kind of electricity or something? You know, electrolytes are primarily minerals, okay? They're primarily minerals, calcium, potassium, chloride, and so on and so forth. And those minerals have a lot to do with the movement of water. So minerals don't work well if you are dehydrated. You know that? And so you've got to drink water so you give the mineral something to work with, but they'll put the water where it's supposed to be, inside the cell, inside the heart, and, you know, just do what it's supposed to do inside your bloodstream. But you've got to have hydration, and then you have to have good mineralization, which is your electrolytes. So what the world does is they say, okay, drink Gatorade, you know, stuff like that. But a lot of those things have sugar and that kind of thing. We could have natural electrolytes. I'll tell you one of the best electrolytes, if you had to buy something, a drink, nothing can beat coconut water. You know, I'm talking about sugar-free coconut water. It's just powerful. But brothers and sisters, there's electrolytes in fruit juice. There's electrolytes in a banana. There's electrolytes in some nuts and seeds. And so for the most part, if we drink plenty of water, because here's the point, we need to be getting a lot of exercise, a good amount of exercise, but exercise will hurt you if you don't have electrolytes. And that's why you don't recover. That's why you have so many cramps and stuff like that. Your electrolytes are off. So they'll tell you to eat meats and dairy for the electrolytes. You don't need to do that. That causes more problems in other areas. You can get them from the plant foods, friends. So lots of fruits, lots of vegetables, lots of whole grains. If you eat a diet high in nutrient-rich foods and not all the processed foods in boxes and cans and things of this nature, you're getting a lot of good electrolytes, friends. And so watermelon, great electrolyte. Fruit juice, as I said. So if you know you're getting ready to do a lot of serious exercise, I'll tell you, we went on a beautiful, wonderful walk, and it was not too far from a six-mile walk yesterday, just a Sabbath afternoon walk. And I'll tell you what, I hadn't been doing it, and, man, I had to come home and kind of crash. But I went and got water and more grape juice and made sure you got to do your stretching, though, so that water can get to all those beautiful places it needs to go to. And so, you know, I did have to take a little nap afterwards, but I recovered, brothers and sisters. And that's because I could feel as I drank the water and the grape juice, I could feel the strength coming back. And then God was telling me, you know, young man, we might have to run. Get in shape. So that's what I'm going to do, friends. I'm going to make sure by the grace of God I do that serious kind of walk almost every day if I can. But I want to tell you about electrolytes. So again, it's a lot of the fruits and the vegetables. Bananas are high, watermelon, grapefruit juice. I'm just talking about if you have to do extensive, heavy exercise. You don't have to go buy some Gatorade or Powerade and those types of things. I'm not saying if you found somebody that was, you know, about to pass out and there was some Gatorade around, that it would be sin to give them some Gatorade. I'm not saying that, but you're better off getting it in natural sources. You'll be better off. They have less sugar, and it's just healthier for you. So just want to mention that, and I will go to the phone line, open them up. If anybody has any comment or question, just press *6, and we'll take roll call. We have Georgia. We have Sister Vicky saying good morning to everybody. She mentioned a nice compliment on the course. Thank you, Sister. God bless you. We have South Carolina. We have Massachusetts, I believe that is. God bless you, dear sister, if you're still there. We have North Carolina, and a good morning from Brother Peyton. We have on the call, and there is dear sister Winston on the call. We'll take her call in just a moment. But we have Ohio again, and several of the people on this call are in the course. We have Maryland, we have Delaware, and Delaware again. We have Iowa, we have New York, we have Michigan, and we have Georgia. All right, let's go to Sister Winston, our dear mother in Israel at this time. Good morning, Sister Winston.
Good morning, Pastor. I just want to tell you today is my birthday, and God had let me live to see 90 years old. And I just wanted everybody to know that God has been good to me, because in 1968, when they did my mastectomy, the doctor sent me home and said there was nothing else they could do for me. And I said, I thank the Lord, because now I'm 90 years old, and back then, 1968, they had given up on me, but God had not given up on me. And I just praise the Lord, because he brought me and you together. And I have truly been blessed through your ministry. And I know that I'm getting on up in age, but if there's anything that I can do to help out, then please let me know. And everybody, have a blessed day, because I am so happy that God let me live to see this day now, and I just thank you, and so keep me and my family in prayer. Everybody have a blessed day.
Amen. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. May you keep Jesus near every day of the year. Happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. The best that you ever had. A little bit longer, but we don't have a lot of time. But God bless you. 90 years old. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. When I came to the area where our dear sister lives, she drove her own car to come see us. And so the Lord is still good, keeps our dear sister going. We love you. We'll be in touch, okay?
Okay, thank you, and have a blessed day.
You too. All right, we've got our dear sister Lenny on the line. Good morning, sis.
Good morning. Happy birthday, Sister Winston. I just want to ask special prayer for those who are having financial difficulties, those who are sick, and all the prayers that have been requested on the broadcast. And have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless. God bless. Amen. That's what it's all about, friends, praying for those who are challenged financially, challenged with sickness, doing what we can to help them. That's what it's all about. Amen. Let's pray. And Sister Maria sends her love. Oh, we got Sister Leilani on the line. Let's go ahead and take Sister Leilani. We've got time. Good morning, Sister Leilani.
Yes, I would like prayer for my granddaughter Celeste. She is interviewing for a job. It's the second interview for a job that she could do at home, and she's nursing a baby, so that would be the most wonderful thing. She could get this job, but only if it's God's will.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sister. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your mercies and kindness and grace. We thank you for giving us a new week to serve you. We ask that you would be with us, Lord, that we'll be in full surrender. Lord, some specific requests have come. We've had requests for Sister Leilani's granddaughter, Celeste, who is trying to get a job. And we ask that you would help her to get this job where she can work at home and nurse her little baby. We pray, Lord, that you would do this for her to glorify your name so that she can keep her baby with her at home. We ask that you would be with Sister Lenny's request for the poor, those who are struggling financially. And you don't have to be poor to be struggling financially. You can make a lot of money and still be struggling financially. So we just pray for those struggling with finance because of the circumstances of life that hits us in all different areas of our lives. We pray for the sick, Lord, that they will be healed and that you will use us, Lord, to teach others and to heal as well. And we thank you, Lord, for this. We thank you for 90 years of life. We thank you for her. We thank you also, Sister Winston, that is. We thank you for our other mother in Israel who is in her 90s. We know it was such a blessing to minister to my mother, who we don't have with us now, in her 90s. And so we just praise you for all that you have done and for the many years of life and the life experiences that you have given to your servants who are here to pass on their wisdom to us. We ask that you bless us now. And as we prepare for the muscular system, Father, we just ask that you will bless. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, God is good. At this time, we will have our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in
I will love.